So let's get to it. In the Middle East, John, we'll just get to it right away, right? So, okay, so obviously, the much anticipated ground war looks like it's about to happen. Thousands of American troops are now in the Middle East, and Trump says he's definitely seems to be leaning towards attacking Karg Island. He says he wants to take Iran's oil. That's not an idle threat after what
No,
happened.
that's a big deal.
It's also such a war crime. It's off the charts. And then I think the big story, really, truly, is Yemen getting the Houthis getting involved. Bob El Mandeb, I'm sure I'm butchering the
No,
pronunciation.
that's right, the Bab el-Mandeb.
So that's the basically that's the strait that goes to the Red Sea. It's the equivalent of the Strait of Hormuz, but
Correct. And it's so narrow, it's like 9 miles across.
much narrower than the Strait of Hormuz.
Yeah, much narrower.
So that little strait separates Yemen from Djibouti and Eritrea, and it's kind of like
You see how wide it
it's
is.
just north of where the Gulf of Aden, where those Somali pirates always notoriously operate, like Captain Phillips and all that
Yes.
kind of stuff. So anyway, the Houthis
Oh, that's
have
right.
been discounted in all this. John, let's just start with the Houthis. How serious of a factor are the Houthis here?
Well, the reason, excuse me, the reason why we thought the Houthis would not be a factor is because they came to an agreement with the United States to stop attacking U.S. ships and U.S. warships. And so we just, as a country, we just collectively kind of forgot about them. But they launched a missile strike on Israel that connected. And so long as the Houthis have a supply of missiles, even though they're not guided missiles, they can sort of point them in the general right direction and at least frighten people. They might, hit a neighborhood or something. So this is kind of a big deal, not because it's necessarily going to do some damage, so much as it's going to frighten people and distract the Israelis. So now the Israelis don't just have to worry about the Iranians and their incoming drones and missiles. Now they have to worry about the Houthis as well.
And the
And the Lebanese.
I was just going to say the Iranians are busy are have a multi-front war going on, right? I mean, they're
Yeah.
still engaged in ethnic cleansing in West Bank and Gaza. They're genociding in Gaza. They're invading southern Lebanon. The AP has officially designated it an invasion. I mean, I think an invasion is technically whenever you go into a country you don't belong in. And then there's and now Yemen and Iran. I mean, that's a lot for a little tiny, highly belligerent country to chew.
It is. And while the Israelis cross the Lebanese border with ease every time they want to do it and slaughter as many people as they want to slaughter, it's never a long-term strategy. You can't maintain it. It's an untenable policy. And so it looks this time as if the Israelis are seeking a buffer zone. This is something that you raised a couple of weeks ago, Ted. You said rhetorically, are the Israelis looking for a buffer zone? I think that's exactly what they're doing.
Basically, south of the Litani River is
The
going to
Litani
be,
River, it
will
looks like,
belong to
is
them.
going to be the dividing line. But the thing is you can't, well, you can internally displace hundreds of thousands of people. There are 900,000 civilians that are internally displaced right now in Lebanon. This is a humanitarian catastrophe. And of course, the Israelis don't care. But the issue of invading up to the Litani River and then permanently holding the territory south of the Litani River, this is new.
And the Israelis, they seem to in that area south of the Litani, they've already begun kind of Gaza-like demolition operations where they're razing everything. John, what's that
Yeah.
about? What is the? I mean, what is the tact? What? Why is that a tactic? Like,
This
what
is
does
all about
an occupying army gain from that?
this is all about Hezbollah rocket attacks on Jewish settlements in northern Israel. There are settlements within like 2 or 3 kilometers of the Lebanese border. Why in the world you would want to set up a settlement right there within like literally a hand grenade's distance, from the Lebanese border is a mystery to me, but the Israelis have. And so one of the things that these settlements have to deal with all the time is incoming Hezbollah rockets, usually shoulder-fired rockets. Sometimes they connect, they destroy houses. Every once in a while, they'll kill somebody. They hit a school playground, I don't know, a year or 2 years ago and killed a couple of adults who happened to be there at the playground, just kind of standing around. So this is all part of the, I'm going to use the term, the greater Israel, not that giant swath that includes Saudi Arabia and all of Jordan and all this stuff, but greater Israel, meaning a chunk of Syria, a chunk of Lebanon, the West Bank, Gaza, that the Israelis want for the protection of settlers.
So flattening Lebanese homes and turning southern Lebanon into, like what they did in Gaza, turning it into a gravel parking lot.
Yeah.
Is that about trying to deny those who would be firing weapons into Israel a place to hide and set up those launchers? Is that what it's about?
Yes. But all that's going to happen is they're going to move. The technology is going to improve. They're going to get more distance out of their rockets. Mm-hmm. And then the Israelis are going to have to cross the Litani River and go on to the north side of the Litani River. Mm-hmm. It's just going to get worse and worse and worse. And God forbid anybody should either start treating people like human beings or engage in some sort of peace talks, even indirectly. God forbid. It's easier just to, commit crimes against humanity.
Totally. So I agree. Look, I think the Houthis are a big deal too. You were asking about, by the way, I just want to answer, why would the Israelis have settlements 3 miles from the border? I don't know. Why would you have a music festival 3 kilometers away from the border fence with Gaza, right?
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right.
It's bizarre. Or a kibbutz, right?
It's some arrogance, man.
It is. So I guess they're like, well, it's all ours. So we get to, we're going to control every little bit of it. So before we move on from the Houthis, I mean, the threat is huge, right? Like I used to work in banking and business. Shipping, they're not going, if there's a 1% chance that like your tanker is going to take a Houthi missile, you're not sending that tanker through there. You're just not.
Look at it this way too. The Persian Gulf accounts for 65% of the world's fertilizer. So 65% of the world's fertilizer has to go through the Strait of Hormuz. Mm-hmm. And as if that isn't bad enough, it then splits. Half of it goes east to Asia. Mm-hmm. Half of it goes west to the Bab el-Mandeb to then go through the Red Sea and the Suez Canal. And if the Houthis are armed and blowing up ships again, this is going to be bad.
Want to support the show with style? Go to deprogram.live and check out our merch. That's deprogram.live, or check out the description below. Thanks for watching.